Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore all avenues of transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it feels counterintuitive, just like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, with another great guest for you today, Georgie Shears, a life design strategist who has some great tips for living a good and healthy life. Talking of tips for a healthy life, today's show is brought to you in association with Nasal Guard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants, as well as indoor and outdoor allergens. It's perfect for travellers and pet lovers alike, as well as people who experience the misery of hay fever or seasonal allergies. Now, we all know that a healthy immune system is key to fending off illness, but what if we could reduce the number of pathogens that our body has to deal with in the first place? That's where Nasal Guard comes in. Nasal Guard Airborne Particle Blocker's unique technology acts as an invisible barrier against contaminated air, virus-sized particles, mold and pollen, as well as pet dander and dust mites. I've been trying it out and it's very easy to use. You just squeeze a tiny blob onto a finger and spread it around the entrance to your nose. It's water-based, so it doesn't leave a film on the skin, and you can wear it over or underneath makeup, which is great news for some of us. And if you're uncomfortable breathing in the stale air on planes and crowded trains, then Nasal Guard could be for you. I'll certainly be travelling with the tube next time I'm on the tube in London. Now, I don't suffer from airborne allergens myself, but people who do report a great reduction in their symptoms when they use Nasal Guard. In fact, Nasal Guard's inventor, Ashok Vahi, developed it to solve the problem of his daughter's pet allergies. I love hearing from people who've turned a well-being problem around in their life and go on to help others. And that's part of the story of today's guest, Georgie Shears, too. Like many of us, Georgie hit rock bottom before rebuilding her life and thriving. She now works as a life design strategist who provides simple tools and strategies to help women in their midlives create lives that they love living. Before she got into her story, I asked Georgie to tell me more about what she does as a design life strategist. Here's what she had to say.
The Shift Life Transformation System is essentially a framework or a roadmap, if you will, that you can use to overcome any challenges that come up in your life. It might be that you've got that feeling of not feeling good enough. It might be something in your life that has actually come up, like you've lost your job or anything like that. And what I developed this almost, well, completely accidentally, via my own story of getting over severe anxiety and panic attacks and always having a feeling of not feeling good enough. So I never dared to step outside my comfort zone. So, and I had no idea how to handle all these things short of therapy, short of taking antidepressants, short of partying and all these things. I had no idea about the inner work, and the inner work to me sounded all a little bit woo-woo and a little bit heavy.
Yes.
So what happened is basically through my own journey, which we will talk about later, I experimented with absolutely loads of stuff about getting myself better.
Right.
And I found ways to get myself better. And what I realized is it all started with self-awareness, looking at myself and going, How am I feeling now? Oh my God, I'm suffering anxiety. If that was the thing, or kind of feel like I'm the odd one out here, I don't fit into this group properly, you know, I'm feeling like I'm not good enough. Everything started with self-awareness. And then I had to look back and say to myself, where has this come from, right? When I think about it, when you're a baby or you're a child, right, you don't fear it. You think you can do or be anything, right? So where do these kind of limitations, these limiting beliefs come from? So if I'm telling myself, like, I'm questioning my capabilities, I'm questioning whether I can really do the things I really want to do, Why don't I believe that anymore? What is it in my history? So I'm going to go with the S of shift is the self-awareness piece. We then go to the H of shift, which is the history piece. And we start looking back when we started the self-doubt. Who was it? In my case, it was my father, which we'll go into maybe a little bit. Didn't matter what I did, it was not good enough to make him love me or make him want to come and pick me up. So I got this overarching feeling that I wasn't good enough. That was my messaging. So we look back at the history and sort of start saying, right, well, I can see that. Then we move on to the I, which is the beautiful piece, is the inner work. And here's where we start looking at times when, right, so you're telling yourself you're not good enough at that thing, or you're always late, for example, or I suffer anxiety, these things. And then we start looking at times in life where that's not been true at all. When were you absolutely good enough? When did people give you feedback that you were brilliant at something? When did you feel you were brilliant at something? And that's when we start to rewrite those limiting beliefs, which are actually just thoughts. They're not truth. We go through life thinking all these things about ourselves, limiting ourselves just due to thoughts that we've picked up. And with this inner work, we actually learn in the I piece of this, we learn to rewrite it and show ourselves with actual facts when that's been incorrect. And we start to rewire the neural pathways and teach our brains that actually that's a load of rubbish. And that allows us with real belief to move on to the F, which is really looking at future you. So now you've got rid of all that, you know, that is just a load of crap that's been holding you back, a load of thoughts, a load of messages from old bosses or exes or someone at school that said something nasty or a parent or just something. You now know none of that was true. So, wow, what could my future actually look like? What am I actually brilliant at? What do I really enjoy doing? What do I bring to this world? And you start allowing yourself to dream, but they're dreams that can become reality. And then we move into the T, which is the transformation, which can sound like such a huge, frightening word, transformation. But really, what we're doing is saying, here's what you enjoy in life. Here's what you're good at. Here's what you want your life to look at. And we just start implementing ways to get you there very slowly, very safely and sustainably. And that's the T of transformation. Now, the thing is, anytime anything comes up in life now, if I start to feel anxiety, at one time I would have thought, oh, I'm starting with anxiety again. I don't feel like that at all. I actually oddly kind of feel grateful for it. So I know now it's a warning sound in my body, sort of a feeling that's going, something's a little bit off. Let's go right back to the beginning, back to the S of my system. A little bit of self-awareness. How am I feeling about myself? How have I been living? What's going on? What am I telling myself about the situation? And then we go back to the history piece. We've had this before. What did we do? And we just go through the whole system again. And it just feels like almost this comfort blanket of support and guidance and tools, because within that system, it's jam-packed with different tools and strategies that we can try out. And some will land and work with us. Meditation's beautiful for some people. Tapping's great for some people. You know, there's all these different things. There's just getting out for a walk is great for some people. There's going and doing volunteering is great. There's all these different tools and strategies. And when we try them all and we learn what lands, we've got a toolkit for life. And that's how it came about.
Yeah, I love that. And you will probably, although I don't want to put words in your mouth, you'll probably have felt a lot healthier as well, not just in terms of your mental health and your ability to deal with life, but also physically as well. You probably feel a lot better.
100%, because I know that if I now make a commitment to the things that make me feel good, and it's not like your kind of New Year's resolution commitment, I'm going to do this because, with a sort of empty promise. If I commit to the things that make me feel good physically and mentally, I live life feeling great. And that for me, I suppose I was explaining this to someone just the other day, the fear for me of ever feeling the feelings I had, the severe panic attacks I used to have and the anxiety, the fear of going back there is far more than the effort it takes to do the good practices that keep me feeling good. So you're absolutely right. I meditate daily, I move daily. The food I eat is incredibly nutritious and I love it. And I hate the way that nutritious food is pitched as though you're taking something away. Because for me, you're adding in so much to life, so much variety, colours. And I don't know, life just becomes so much more rich. And yeah, you're absolutely right. My physical health is incredible. You look at your resting heart rate, things like that. I'm like, oh, wow, that's a byproduct. But how wonderful.
Yeah. And I'm not so sure that it is actually a byproduct. I think it's all, you know, all kind of comes together, doesn't it? Yeah. So tell us then a little bit about how you came to this realization. Is it how you came to develop the process that you now teach others to adopt? Tell us a bit about your story.
I will do. So it depends how far back we want to go.
Well, you know, maybe not.
I'll tell you how this came about. So I had been a health, fitness and lifestyle coach for over a decade before COVID hit. We'll just go about that.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely loved it. I'd had corporate jobs before that. When I had my children, I decided I didn't want to go back to corporate, didn't fill my soul, loved humans. I'd always trained, and therefore I retrained as a PT initially. Then I became something called an individual design coach, where you took each individual as an absolute individual human being with their own goals, desires, skills, talents, things that make them tick. And yes, they came to me for fitness initially, but realistically what they wanted was to get the most out of life. So I used to see people once, twice, three times a week on a one-to-one capacity. Then COVID hit. And if I just say prior to all that, I've now been with my husband 15 years. Prior to him, my life was very, very different. Not because of him necessarily, but it was in those years prior, when I was much younger, when I really suffered with severe anxiety, depression. I was on Prozac at 14. I sort of had a long history of relationships with kind of emotionally unavailable men. I never put myself first, always trying to fit in, not very happy.
Yeah.
And then I got into this industry and I had the support of my husband, and I started to use exercise really as a way to manage my anxiety. And I had various talk therapies and EMDR, which were very successful and kept the, you know, wolf from the door, so to speak. And then, so I absolutely loved what I did, but I did still suffer with anxiety, not panic attacks. And then we got into COVID.
Ah, yes, COVID. That whole episode was responsible for changing so many lives. We'll hear more from Georgie about that shortly, but first it's time for a short break to hear these messages. Back after this.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my guest today, Georgie Shears. Now, before the break, Georgie was telling us her story, and we were about to hear how COVID made its mark on her life and the lives of those around her. Here's how she continued.
And very sadly, my cousin, my dear cousin sister, as we called each other, was in the very late stages of cancer when COVID took hold in the UK, and we knew that if we wanted to see her before she passed away, we had to stay away from anyone that could possibly have had COVID because her immune system was so low. So we were in lockdown. We locked down 3 weeks before anyone else took the children out of school, and I was decided not to work, not to take my business online, because I wanted to be there for the children, and I wasn't in a great mental state because health anxiety had been my Achilles heel. And there we are with a pandemic, with nobody knew what was going on, and the very reality of my cousin's terminal cancer, and I was watching the news like we all did, keeping it away from the children because it was terrifying, but there I was watching it. And because of doing that, I felt myself go into severe panic again, and I'd not had panic attacks for years. And all of a sudden, they were back with an absolute vengeance. And I was trying to use exercise to manage that anxiety. And as bodies do, because they are very, very clever, my body decided I was not going to exercise. In fact, I was not going to move. And I found it difficult even walking up the stairs. And I hit absolute rock bottom when I had a panic attack in the kitchen with the children, tried to go upstairs to get on my exercise bike, couldn't walk, and just collapsed in a heap in my gym. And was in a terrible state, crying, having a panic attack, just thinking, what the hell am I going to do? I've got my children downstairs. We're in lockdown. I cannot go on like this. And this to me would have been an eye roll, oh, really, if I'd heard someone else say it. I was in such a horrendous state that said to myself, you've just got to get better. You cannot go on like this. You have got to do something. You have got to get yourself well. And I felt like some power rising in me that I'd never, ever felt before, that knew I had to get myself better, and I knew I would get myself better. I knew I could. I just had no idea how. And that was when genuinely everything just kind of shifted for me. I'm like, you have got to find a way to get better. And where did I go? Google straight away. I'm like,
Dr. Google. Yeah.
Dr. Google. And I literally Google searched everything that I could about how the hell I was going to get over panic attacks and anxiety at home. And I started learning. I think the first thing I found was a meditation, which was anxiety SOS. And I did it and I couldn't believe it. And that sent me going down rabbit holes. I was reading everything I could. I was on YouTube. I was on online courses. I was doing, and I was practicing these things. And the one thing I realized that was so massive for me was, you just had a panic attack because you watched the news.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, don't watch the news.
Well, I would say that's a good start for most people. Yeah.
Honestly, well, I do as well. And I didn't know if I could say that on here, but I've never watched the news since 2024, and I don't, and I cannot tell you. But it wasn't just that. I mean, it's hugely not watching the news because you're out of control, and the way it's delivered to me is, you know, anyway. But for me, what it was learning that I had the power to control my own life. And that was a starting point for me of going, wow, we are in control of our own destiny. We can decide. So I started trying all these things, and I started gratitude practice, and I committed to it. And I couldn't believe how the shift from writing down what you're grateful for rather than panicking about what could be, I could not believe.
Yeah.
And I still do it. So when I say committing to the stuff that makes me feel better, I do the stuff every single day. So I learn all these practices, and because I knew they worked, because I'd taken myself from panic, I was like, oh my God, this is like my missing piece in my passion for helping humans get the most out of life. Because when I've been training people one-to-one, I could see how wonderful they were as humans, and I could see the self-doubt piece, like they were like, I just can't, this is just an example, I can't shift this weight, but when I've done this, I'll be able to focus on that. When I get to this point, I'll do this. When this, and it, I used to look and think, but I can see it's not the external circumstances, it's what's going on inside that's stopping you. So when I discovered this during COVID, I was like, wow, I found like a toolkit I can give people to help them get out of their own way. So then I'm like, wow, I can do this as a business. I can do. And then I started learning about how can I get this out to everybody? How can I get, and I just changed, honestly, that depth of despair, I thank more than anything you believe, because it set me off on this journey where I now can help hundreds and thousands of people live lives true to themselves that they absolutely love, believing that what they've got to bring to this world is valuable, and helping them do it. And it's just precious. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But isn't it extraordinary that for a lot of us, we have to go really down into that place of absolute despair before we are kind of booted up the backside and, you know, and given that sort of message, get on with it. Just get on with it. Do what you do, the thing that you're here to do. Do what you need to do. Yeah.
I think now I've gone through that, and I don't know about you, I seem to hear it all the time. People mm-hmm. that are very passionate and successful in what they do, and it's usually in helping others, have been to such a dark place themselves. And I think it's a message. It's like, yeah. Okay. So yeah. Now I'm going to show you, this is where you learn what you're here to do. And yeah. That's what I feel. And I think the word purpose is so overused now that it's kind of lost its power. But that is what I feel. I feel like I have found exactly what I'm here to do and that I'm naturally good at, and help people find what they're naturally good at. And then seeing people feel wonderfully good at something, it's just incredible. There's no greater feeling.
Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, as I say at the top of this show all the time, it's all about living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature. It's a way of expressing ourselves within the natural world. And what I wonder about your journey, because we've talked about how you were a personal trainer, and of course you would be eating nutritious food. Did you, for instance, try any of the natural adaptogens, like, you know, the medicinal mushrooms or herbs like ashwagandha, which can help you calm yourself? Did you do anything like that?
I did, but not hugely. Now, I've always seen a new nutritionist for years, so I take mushroom powders daily, but I didn't really do it medicinally to help with my anxiety.
Okay.
In the earlier years, it was always kind of medical. And then I know that, when I was much younger, I would eat an absolute ton of sugar. I now don't, when I say I don't eat any sugar, I don't eat refined sugars.
Yeah.
But again, it's not that taking away. It's the richness of everything now I do eat, like dates and prunes and nut butters and dark chocolate, and you create these wonderful. So when you're talking about in line with nature, that is absolutely how we get the most out of life, is, you know, be aware of your circadian rhythm. Hydrate. Eat the right fruits and vegetables for that season. That is what the body needs in that season. And I love teaching people about this, but I don't directly teach. I'm not a nutritionist. I, on my social media, just post what I do. And people naturally come to me and say, what's that? And why do you eat that? And why do you do that? So I haven't actually, and I'd be really, really interested in learning more. I think when you delve into this world, you realize how much you don't know. And that is exciting, because you realise how much you got to learn.
Oh, there's an awful lot to learn. And absolutely. And, you know, for instance, a very dear friend of mine is an avid forager. And there's so much that we can just get from the wild.
Does she share with you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, she does.
Yeah.
She does. Great. I've got a cupboard full of mushrooms and stuff like that. And we go out and we did some seaweed foraging in the spring last year. Hopefully we'll do that again, because it was fantastic. Just unbelievable.
Near your home.
Yeah. Yeah. Very close to where I live. Yeah. It's just unbelievable. The wonderful, natural, so nutritious food that's out there and actually is free.
And just on the earth. Yeah. But, you know, but it makes absolute sense. We're humans. We live here. Mm-hmm. Is already here. Yeah. In fact, all the stuff that's mass marketed and mass produced, we don't need any of that.
No, not at all. And in fact, this friend, Karen Bryans McLean, people who listen to the show regularly will maybe know her name. She actually popped round on New Year's Day with some of the Hawthorn ketchup that we both made way back in the autumn, which I hadn't actually seen, but she did bring me a bottle round the other day, and it's great. It's really nice.
See, this is it. There's so much out there. It's not about taking stuff away. There's just so much to find, isn't there?
And absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And why leave it all to the birds? And, you know, the blackbirds and the other birds, you know, there's enough usually for everybody to get some nutrition from the hedgerows. It is interesting, though, isn't it? And that the mental side of our health so impacts the physical side of our health, the emotional side of our health. It's all intertwined, isn't it?
And I think for me, meditation has been the biggest thing. And I always say this, I am yet to sit cross-legged and say Om.
I have done that. But
have you? Yeah, but it's not my style, you know, and I meditate daily. But I think we all have this view that meditation has to be done a certain way. You have to look a certain way.
Not at all.
Feel a certain way. Mm. But actually, for me, what it's about is quietening the noise that isn't truly you.
That's
expectations, societal norms, and what is put upon us with the media or just general external messaging. And when we can meditate and really drop into, even the language drop into ourselves can sound frightening when you're not used to it. But it comes though, doesn't it? You know, just by slowly, when you actually feel that feeling of, oh, I'm just with myself.
Mm.
It's so beautiful. And you do feel completely part of it all, part of earth, connected to source. You start hearing your inner guidance. You really, really do start to get the answers to things.
Yeah. Yeah. And connecting to nature. You talked about going for a walk.
Oh, outside every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And forest bathing has become a big thing.
Yeah. I've not done it. And I want to do a lot more breath work. Definitely. Yeah.
So all these things come together, and it's great though that people like you who have been through it and have experience. I think this is really important. I think when we're helping people get through any kind of health issue or life issue, which always comes down to a health issue in the end, I think.
I agree.
It's brilliant to speak with somebody who's been there. You know, if you want help, look for somebody who knows what you're going through, don't you think?
Really do. And it's understanding that when you're at the start of where I was, you feel so vulnerable and ashamed to feel the way you do.
Yeah.
That makes it really, really hard to reach out for help because you think you're the only one who feels like that, so much lesser. And actually, the vast majority of us have felt like that at some point or do feel like that regularly, but know how to access the tools or the space to not feel like that. And I think when you really hit, I mean, I've only touched upon my story here, of course, but when you really know that someone has felt as you felt, there's no shame in it. It's what's happened to you. It's what you've gone through. And when I would love to be an inspiration to someone in the way that they think, well, wow, you've just managed to get over that and love your life. You know, I have friends now who are having a really, really tough time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can't help somebody if they don't want help. And as you and I say, I take solace in sort of thinking sometimes you have to get so bad before you've had enough and you do reach out for help.
Mm-hmm.
But I've tried to make it easier for people to access the sort of tools and the tips that I offer without having to reach out, you know, my social medias, and have a free Facebook group, and I have a free quiz that people can access without having to show their face, without having to talk. And for me, if that can just help people see what's available without having to make them feel more vulnerable when they're at the very, very start, and to see what can be, what is available, and how you might feel so terrible at the moment, but that might be your strength, and that might just be the thing that you're so grateful for in years to come.
I totally agree with Georgie there. Two of the biggest challenges when we're in a bad place are understanding that there is always a way out, and secondly, asking for a helping hand. It's been one of my biggest life lessons. Out of interest, I took the life transformation quiz she talks about on Georgie's website. It's really quick to do, and I can see that it could help as a first step to taking stock and asking for that help. But more on that in a few moments. First, it's time for another break. We'll be back right after we've heard these messages.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're still listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the practical alchemist, and with me today is the life design strategist, Georgie Shears. Now, before the break, we were talking about all the resources that Georgie offers to help people create a life they love living. So now that you've mentioned all of that, where would anybody find you? You've got a website, so tell us where people can look you up and find out a little bit more about what you're doing.
So I would say I'm most active on my Instagram, so that you get the kind of behind the scenes everyday stuff. So I am Georgie Shears Strategist on Instagram. The links are all in my bio in there, but I think my life transformation quiz is just brilliant for people. It's a free quiz that I developed. So you go on, it takes you less than 3 minutes to complete. And what it will help you do is identify what it is at the moment that is kind of stopping you taking those next step or stopping you getting the most out of life. And it might be you're lacking a bit of purpose. It might be that you loved what you did 10 years ago and all of a sudden you might have had children and they've been your priority and you've got everything you want in life, so why don't you feel happy? And this quiz really helps you understand what that thing is. It might be the habits. It might be those limiting self-beliefs. And this really helps you in it. What will happen is you answer a few really simple questions and it'll give you a personalized PDF report straight off the back of it that you can have a read through. It'll explain a little bit about that area and how you can start to make changes straight away. So although, yes, I have a website and I do have Facebook, I think they're the easiest places and they've got links to it all anyway.
Well, that sounds fascinating. And the two things have been standing out to me as we've been talking. One is this element of shame. And I've been speaking to other people recently about shame and how that is at the basis of a lot of ill health and inflammation, even in the body. And we need to really just learn how to let go of that, and then we can really get on with our healing journey or our health journey. I know for a lot of people, health and healing have different connotations, but it's
absolutely one. And you know, I agree with you.
Yeah. So that's the one thing, yeah. And you know, the other thing is, yeah, just change is okay, and we needn't fear change. So taking stock's a good thing, and not fearing moving on and saying, well, I don't want to do that any longer.
I think you're right, and I think comfort zone is a really a coach that I sort of did a little reading on, Jensen Chero, she calls it the familiarity zone, and I love that. Mm-hmm. Because it's actually not that comfortable. It's a place where we feel safe, yes. It's also a place where we're not challenged. And I remember reading that the brain is like a diamond. It needs pressure to thrive. And if we are just in our comfort zone where not a lot's happening, we're not challenging ourselves to grow, our brain likes challenge and it will create pressure and it will start ruminating and worrying about everything just to create its own pressure in order to keep developing. Mm-hmm. And that for me was fascinating. So people are staying in their comfort zone to stay safe. But actually what's happening is they're creating themselves more worry. And if we can just edge, which again, as you've just said, creates cortisol and inflammation in the system. So we're not looking after ourselves when we're in our comfort zone all the time. Yes, it's lovely to come back to. It's like getting back from a holiday, isn't it? Oh, I'm back. It feels familiar. But after a bit, I could do with a holiday again. You just need to.
Yeah, yeah.
That comfort zone, and you don't have to do anything terrifying. It's more just those tiny little steps that get you just a little bit fit. You know, I want to get fit. Okay, maybe we could do 2 minutes walking today and just feel like we've achieved something. And then maybe we'll do three the next day. It needs to be as tiny as that when you're not feeling great to start that momentum and nudging that comfort zone ever so slightly. So I agree. And then, like you say, your mental health's improving. your physical health's improving, your stress responses are coming right down. So your health markers are all improved. You know, it's all connected.
Absolutely. And avoiding those things which cause you to have stress or feel anxious. And that is not denying yourself the right to find out what's going on in the world. But I know somebody who is just an absolute news junkie, and their anxiety levels are just beyond belief.
Honestly,
beyond belief.
It is, it keeps people in severe, how would it not keep you in fear?
Absolutely.
No. And so many people wake up in the morning and the first thing they do is reach for their phone. They'll either look at the news or they'll look at social media. And for me, straight away, you're putting yourself into panic if you're looking at the news, because there's no good news out there. Or you're looking at social media where you're starting comparing yourself to lives that aren't particularly real anyway, because, you know, we all put up, I put up a salad when I've made a big salad. I don't put up when I sit eating a bowl of cereal over the island, because that's not interesting.
That's true.
It's not. You know,
that is true.
You're trying to create a false life. It's just, it's not a picture worth taking, is it? Do you know what I mean?
I know, it is true.
So I think for me, as I say, I've not watched the news since 2020, when I know lots of people, like you've just described, that are fixated with the news.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, it is. And it's really affecting their health. Well, honestly, Georgie, thank you so much for coming onto the show today and talking with me. It's been great to speak with you. Well done on all the work that you do. And I look forward to, following what you're doing with interest. Yeah, I think that it's a great thing to be able to hold somebody's hand and say, okay, let's just look at this and let's just reassess all of this and let's just see where we can shore up all those energy leaks and those bits that you're not getting on with in your life and that are causing you anxieties and stresses, and let's get rid of all of those and let's find out who you are.
That, and when you really watch somebody, it is a hand holding, it's really guided process, and to see the stress dissipate and a smile start to form, and that is what happens, it's physical and metaphorical. And you see people at the end of the work, you know, go through this just once, set a little goal, achieve the small goal, and you're just going through the same process. It doesn't matter what size goal, but the pride and the accomplishment and the, it's like being a child again, childlike wonder.
It is.
It's gorgeous. It is. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, lovely. Well, thank you so much, Georgie. All the best with everything that you do.
Thank you.
Georgie Shears there, creating her best life and helping others do the same. Georgie's website is shiftlifetransformation.com. That's shiftlifetransformation.com. So do go and take a look there if you're not on Instagram, and check out everything that she has to offer. Her story reminds me of my own in many ways. I've experienced more than one period when the universe gave me a hefty boot up the backside to move me into my next phase of life. But sometimes it's not just a mindset issue. It can be energetic, in my experience anyway. I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't had help with clearing energetic blocks in my system, and now I help others clear their energy. I've always been able to work with energy as an intuitive, but even so, there was a point when I needed another person's help. You can find out more about how this energy clearing works at my website, safehavenhealing.uk, and make an appointment there to talk through what you might need if you're drawn to it. You'll find my blog over at thepracticalalchemist.uk. If you register at the site, you'll get all my latest news and views right into your inbox. And if you're stressed or suffering from anxiety, you'll also find some audio tracks there that'll help you. Rather than just thinking of them as a kind of guided meditation, just use them as a way to be quiet and take some time for yourself, just for a few minutes. A guided track's a great way to get the benefits, even if you're new to that kind of thing.
And remember to follow me on Facebook and Instagram as well. I'm The Practical Alchemist on both of those platforms. That's another way to keep up with everything I'm doing and not miss a thing. Talking of which, make sure you check out Health Triangle magazine for some great health information. It's packed with features and news from all your favourite UK Health Radio presenters and contributors, and you'll find the link to that on the UK Health Radio homepage. Now, one thing before I go, a few months ago, Patrick Colford, who's the psychologist and nutritionist heading up the Food for the Brain Foundation charity, he joined me to talk about brain health and how we can minimise our risk of cognitive issues, something that's on a lot of people's minds, if you'll excuse the pun. He talked about bringing out a home test that can help us assess what steps we need to take to reduce the risk of mental illness. And the charity launched a home test this week that can measure homocysteine, which is a biomarker for over 100 diseases, but especially those of the central nervous system. In adults, it's a risk marker for stroke, dementia and Alzheimer's, but also possibly for depression, anxiety, bipolar, schizophrenia, obsessive-compulsive disorder, Parkinson's and multiple sclerosis. The good news is that B vitamins can correct any imbalance. Here's a short clip from that interview where Patrick was telling me about a study into Alzheimer's which showed the positive effect that B vitamins can have on the disease.
Alzheimer's is a disease in the way that diabetes is a disease. It's a very specific thing. So having noticed that there was a very high level in the brain of something called homocysteine, which you can measure in a blood test, and it's to do with B vitamins and something called methylation. They designed a study, randomized placebo-controlled trial, with several hundred people who had pre-dementia, giving half of them B vitamins. And we're talking about B6, B12, and folate. And I will say it's the B12 that's the most important. And the point here, and this is a trick that you could be missing, is the B12 is only in animal food, you know, meat, fish, eggs, milk. However, as one gets older, and this, and we don't know exactly, well, we sort of know why, but not completely. Some people don't absorb it very well. And it's not a function of, you know, they could be extremely fit, having a very healthy diet, but still they're just not a B12 absorber. It's to do with stomach acid secretions, partly. But anyway, I mean, to put it in context, 2 in 5 people over 60 in the UK have insufficient B12 in their blood, not necessarily in their diet, but in their blood. So B12 is key. So they gave B6, B12, folate, or placebo, and got, in the next year, 53% less shrinkage of the brain compared to placebo, which is quite substantial since this is a disease of accelerated brain shrinkage. And at that time, and this was 2010, and this is like one of the best scientists in the world, published in the best journals in the world, they actually did another, they looked closely at the Alzheimer's areas and they had 9 times less shrinkage, 9 times less shrinkage. I mean, you can't argue with these brain scans.
No. And I do recommend, if you're interested, to listen to that show. You'll find it on my show page at ukhealthradio.com. And also do check out foodforthebrain.org for much, much more information there. And that just about wraps things up for today. This show was brought to you in association with Nasal Guard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants, as well as indoor and outdoor allergens. It's perfect if you're travelling by air or even by train, and if you suffer from pet allergies, it's definitely worth trying. To do that, just click on the link on the UK Health Radio homepage to buy. That takes you straight through to nasalguard.co.uk. Thank you for listening. I hope that you'll join me again for more personal alchemy. So until next time, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.